heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
It almost seemed about impossible. It was about a Herculean task for Warnock and Ossoff to take the two seats in the United States Senate in the state of Georgia, swinging the balance now to the Democrat Party, the Socialist Democrat Party, that is, yeah? And, you know, just thinking back here in the past weeks here, it didn't seem like it was going to come even close. It shouldn't have come close to think that they would be in that position to do it. I mean, Georgia traditionally is a red state. I mean, it's the voters there recognize where the country is. And it just seemed like the stakes and the setup on this one would not have played out the way they did. At least when you look at this on the surface, but you know, when you look deeper down into this, just like about every other discussion we have, it makes perfect sense. In fact, I'd suggest to you, it was the perfect election of Warnock and Ossoff. Perfect election. And that's it. And now the power pendulum has swung. And it's everything you had been talking about out there and saying, you know, we've heard all the reports in past times that, oh, this will be the last fair election or the last free election. A lot of people would say it's not fair, but the last free election in our lifetimes if, you know, they don't prevail, if the right doesn't prevail and knock the left down, if the left, if they, you know, take the House and the Senate and the presidency, well, then that's it. It's over. Lights off. The right will never win another election again. I started hearing those things in the past many months, as you probably did too, as we've come through this horrific year of COVID and this election season. It's been a 1-2 sucker punch to the gut here for all Americans. But as we all started hearing that, we started thinking, you know, what does that really mean? It seems far-fetched and a bit surreal to think, and yet we're coming close to that probably being true. Now, I don't know if that happens right now in 2021, if that's it with this 2020 election. It's hard to say whether that is the last free and fair election in our country. I'm not really going to make that prediction because none of us really know. The electorate is changing every day, every week. And I'm going to prove that to you today in big ways and ways that you probably didn't think about. Although there have been a lot of reports about this, and the problem goes far deeper than this Senate race of Warnock and Ossoff. It's quite perplexing. I mean, because, listen, if the left was brilliant enough to make the maneuvers they've made over the last 50 years, and they have made some pretty remarkable ones, to really swallow America whole into the United States Socialists of America, right? It's at some point, it's going to be dark days ahead. And whether or not the Republicans can recapture the glory and pull it all together again for another hurrah or two. But the cancer and the problems go far deeper, people, is what I'm suggesting to you. So, you know, if they come back and win again in the midterm, and a lot of people are predicting, oh, and in fact, I had listeners just today writing into us and people sending, oh, well, you know, after they get their fill of socialism over the next 2 years, oh, the Republicans will win big in the midterm 2022 and certainly take the White House back. They'll take probably Senate and the House back and then probably the presidency again. And then, oh, that's it. And then the country's had its feel of socialism and it's all going to be good. Yeah, I would say to you, that's totally false. It's not true at all. And that's not going to change all of that. And it's not going to fall the way you think it is. And it's not going to be lights off. And it's because the cancer and the damage is too far inwards. It's too far done. It's serious. It's severe. So we've been hearing for some years now, years back actually, that the demographic shift of America was taking place. And we were kind of all in a bit of denial. It was really hard to imagine that America would take that turn and we would become, we would be in the back seat and no longer in control of our destiny and our future. But I started seeing those reports 15, 20 years ago, actually, suggesting where the demographic trends were headed in America. And everybody was in a bit of denial. And at the same time, the Republican Party has had this image and brand out there as the old white man's party, never really diversifying or speaking. And the Democrats were brilliant, as they've been in so many areas, the socialist left. And they played the media and partner with the media now that like they really cared for the common man and that they were for regular folks. Of course, none of that was true, was far from true. But, you know, it's all a game of smoke and mirrors now, isn't it? It just depends who's, you know, more impressive with the smoke and mirrors and putting the game out there in the brand. And there's a lot to talk about today, my fellow Americans. I have to tell you, it's a bit of disgust. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice, but let's just keep it together now so we can have a conversation here today together. It really was the perfect election of Warnock and Ossoff. Let's talk about these two players first, and then we'll talk about the change in demographics in Georgia. We'll talk about the change in demographics in the United States. And we'll talk the fact of all of these people saying this may be the last fair, free, whatever you want to call it, election here. And that, you know, the right will never win another election again. I'm not saying that. That's what a lot of people are saying. It's hard to know where all that's going to play out right now in the immediate moment. And I'm talking for the next couple of elections. Now, eventually, that's probably going to be true. The Republicans are going to fizzle out and the right, and they probably will not be able to win down the road 20, 50 years from now, something like that. It's hard to say how quickly it comes, how quickly that transition changes over. And I know some of you listening are probably saying, what the hell are you talking about? You're not being real optimistic, Malcolm. I am an optimist, clearly, but I'm not feeling real good about the trend and patterns of our nation and where we're at right now. I should dig a little deeper. So you'll learn a few things today, as I will as well with you. So let's buckle up here together and talk about what we've got to do. And let's, as we get toward more of the latter part of the program, let's talk about a game plan as well. I don't not want to be the bearer of doom and gloom here. I'm not one of those people. And there are plenty out there. There's even some on our platform that just play doom and gloom all day and that there is no fixing this thing. So we'll talk more about that. Let's put that aside. And by the way, another caveat, Trump did some pretty remarkable things in attempting to reshape the Republican Party. And I will point that out. And I've pointed it out before. And he is to be credited, actually, for giving them a fighting chance. And I'm going to say that to you for sure. Now, listen, I also think that this race was lost for a lot of reasons, this 2020 race. And I know, and I'm putting the whole election fraud on the side. I know that's hard for some of you. Well, let's have other conversations, not just talk about what a lot of you out there, you know, are. It's become a frenzy out there, and none of that's going to fix the problem. And so it's important we step back, people, and we look at this thing truly, truly objectively, understand the core problems to be able to fix the problems in our country, or there's going to be no saving grace here, very simply. So this Warnock and Ossoff, who are they exactly, right? You know, up front, in full confession to you, I always choose my battles wisely. I don't always spend a lot of time on those that I think don't have a chance. I really didn't think initially they had a chance. I actually thought initially that Perdue and Loeffler had this, that, you know, they're incumbents. They're Republicans in a red state. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? I mean, what could go wrong there? There's no way they're both going to lose. I don't expect one to lose, let alone two. I doubt that's going to happen. So I didn't really focus a lot on Warnock and Ossoff. And I hear a lot of the same stories you've heard out there. And, you know, you read on the surface and see. But let's talk about it. So Warnock is a 51-year-old. He's a pastor. And he now is the senator-elect. That's been confirmed from Georgia. First Black U.S. senator from Georgia, by the way, and in the South. He is senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta since 2005, senior pastor. You got to remember the Christian faith. And this is interesting because the Democrat Party really is not the center of the Christian faith. That's the thing about the left is they try to have their cake and eat it too, and they actually succeed in this very successfully. I mean, they just with the rule of abortion, they kill more Black children than anything. It's a genocide going on in the Black community, amongst others, by the way. So, you know, it's interesting to me how he's a pastor and he hit the Christian roots. And because you're talking about Christianity in the South and you're talking about people take their religion seriously, and certainly the Black community does. And so it's ironic that they played into this in a way with this pastor, and it's exactly who they're not. This is what they're so good at, smoke and mirrors. It's what the left does really, really well. Warnock picked up off that. And there's some interesting things about Loeffler. We're talking about her. I mean, she's, again, you're talking about sort of a populist pastor speaking to the people, the common man. And then you got Loeffler, who's a millionaire, owns sports teams, the WNBA, a very, multi-millionaire many times over, very successful, was appointed out of nowhere, never had a political career from Governor Kemp, very controversial. It's transitioning Georgia now. It's going to be hard to call it a red state any further now. It's definitely at the minimal, it's going to be purple and could be trending blue now, especially when you got this Stacey Abrams, who's done a lot of damage there as well. And she's not a very liked person in a lot of circles, but she's certainly been on the front lines and been very determined to make some changes in Georgia. And unfortunately, she succeeded. Now, Warnock, his whole policies on the top of his from his website are reproductive rights, LGBTQ plus rights, voting rights, and climate change. Those are his top issues. That should give you a sense right there of what he's all about, right? So there was some controversy with him. Warnock became very popular with the civil unrest that was happening with Floyd and all of that that was happening in early 2020. There was an interesting play. There was a story in here you might have heard or not have heard, and where Loeffler, Kelly Loeffler, came out and she criticized that. Now, this is a team she's a co-owner of, the WNBA, okay? And so she criticized them for dedicating the season to Black Lives Matter. Not a very popular thing in a heavy Atlanta in the suburbs of a Black community where people have not really understanding who Black Lives Matter is, that they are indeed a Marxist move and not really about Black lives. That message still hasn't gotten out to millions and millions and millions of people. They don't have a clue, really, of what that's, again, another perfect smoke and mirrors game from the left. She went ahead and protested that, and this became a real issue within this race here. And there were many of the WNBA players took a stand against the team, was the Atlanta Dream, and they supported the opponent so much to the point that they were wearing shirts, if you can believe this, even on the team there. This is a shocker. That said, you know, vote for Warnock, support Warnock, vote for Warnock. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, people. And this was joined by other teams in that WNBA, like the Seattle Storm, the Chicago Sky, Phoenix Mercury, and all of these had all those vote Warnock shirts on and stuff, you see. So you had that. And, you know, the WNBA, they just distanced themselves away completely from Loeffler. They wanted nothing to do with her. And she probably picked the wrong fight. Not probably. She did pick the wrong fight. Now, that turns a lot of people off. And a lot of voters in the Atlanta and the suburb areas and Savannah, I can guarantee you, took that to heart and looked at her as a white elitist millionaire, prima donna, because she looks like that. And she comes across like that a little bit. She's not a great speaker. She's not a great public speaker. Warnock is a much more effective communicator or orator. Just watch their speeches. You can figure that out in seconds. You just watch them. He's very authentic, self-assured, convincing. She's not. She has to be on her very top tiptoe. She's not a great communicator and connecting of people. Right? Probably has less to prove. When you have a lot of money and you're at that status elitist, you have less to prove probably than the pastor who's a popular pastor. There's a lot here with the psychology of this race. You can see that right now. Not, you know, initially you would think Warnock didn't have a shot, but by golly, he had every shot. Even in a red state, supposedly, right? Even in something that where the Senate was hanging in the balance. And that was pumped out there a lot that, oh my God, this is like a serious thing here. Yeah, it was. And they still went that way, right? And so that was not a good strategic move by Loeffler to denounce all that and put that out there in a team that she owns with a predominantly black sport and taking the stance. She probably would have been better off to stay away from that case because there's still a lot of unknowns with Black Lives Matter. A lot of people don't understand it. It hasn't run its full course yet. You know, people don't really understand the movement and what it's all about. Like a lot of things, they just the words don't match the movement. Senator Rick Scott, the senator out of Florida, he came out and said Warnock was a socialist or a Marxist. Now, you probably heard a lot about that. He's been referred to as a communist, socialist, Marxist. Well, he would fit right in with the Democrat Party at that point. But, you know, Rick Scott was trying to point out that was a bad thing. Might have actually been a good thing for these people because they seem to want more of this socialism, Marxism. And this is going to not just a talking point. This is going to be a real problem for America ahead. I would say the chances are growing dimmer and dimmer, that light of liberty in the case of being a free capitalistic representative republic. It's those days are becoming less and less, people. And we'll get into the demographics, I promise you, today here. So, and I'll prove some things to you that do not bode well for us in this country, for those who are trying to preserve the union and this republic for which it stands, right? One nation under God. Indeed, indeed. Wow. So Scott said he believes, he called the Warnock out and he said, he quoted that he said he believes that government can run your life. He called law enforcement thugs. This is what Scott said. He clearly is not where Georgians are. Well, that's not true, Senator Scott, because it was and is where, apparently, where Georgians are, you know. Now, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which Scott is a very big part of there now, obviously, he launched a website slamming Radical Raphael Warnock. Educated by Marxists, praised by socialists, and even welcomed communist leader Fidel Castro to his church. Now, you heard a lot about that, too. And that was the Jeremiah Wright, GD America, and all of that agenda, you know, and not supporting Israel, and, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, and a lot of that, there were a lot of groups that came out and said that wasn't true. That was debunked and said a lot of that stuff wasn't accurate about Warnock. You know, there are a lot of statements that are fuzzy and things that are fuzzy. And what only matters is it didn't work with the Georgians. It didn't work for the American people who voted accordingly. So they weren't convinced. A lot of the dangers like Senator Scott and others put out there about this, this crazy, Marxist pastor, now turned senator, United States senator, only in America, huh, people? Looks like Chuck Schumer is going to have his day after all against Chuck Schumer against Mitch McConnell. Looks like he's going to be able to turn some of the tables around. And You know, interesting. You know, what goes around and comes around in Washington. They've always said that, you know, that's just a fact of life. So it was Schumer who came out and said, if we take Georgia, we can change America. We change the world. We can change America. He made that very clear. Well, now looks like he may have that day come forward and true to whatever that is. We don't really know yet. Been a lot of things said, a lot of things discussed. There'll be a lot of fights ahead. Hard to say at this point how much they can change in the period of time and how this affects future elections or what sort of shape it takes for America, you know. Now, let's talk about John Ossoff. He's 33 years old, much younger. He's a documentary film producer, investigative journalist. He appears to be the other senator, although, you know, there's some still will argue this and talk about fraud and all of that. But at the end of the day, it's not going to change anything here. It's not my opinion. It doesn't matter. It just is the way it is right now. Now, there was a lot of controversy around Ossoff as well as having funny, fuzzy relationships with communist China. He put out a series of tweets. You might have heard some of this, too. Some things that might be damning, but not enough here. Again, young guy, kind of hip, knows how to use social media and the tools as all the new generations do. A young enough guy that he knows exactly what to do with it. And he did it very effectively, being able to turn on and communicate with the Georgians and put his message out there. And the tweets or the controversy with the Chinese and the propaganda or whatever, his accused relationships at the end of the day were nowhere, even against a esteemed senator incumbent like Senator David Perdue, you know. Now, Ossoff's policies, by the way, he's fighting for great health care for every American with a strong public option and strengthened Affordable Care Act to defend Medicare and Social Security, for historic investment in clean energy infrastructure, lower taxes, working families, small businesses, to defend Roe Wade and the privacy of women's health care, to enact major criminal justice reform, to get dark money out of politics. Good luck. And that's Ossoff's policies there. Now, you got to remember now, with this change now, what America has voted as well for this, and again, putting the fraud aside, because, you know, you can argue the fraud tip in the election, but you can't argue the main thrust of the victory is there. Sure, you can tip an election with fraud, whatever it might be, whether it's, you know, universal mail-in ballot or harvest balloting or dead people voting or, you know, cyber warfare. There are numerous amount of things we've all been talking about in past months, and I get that. But you have to have a core success in order to even get close to that 50% mark to be able to flip anything. Are you with me now? You know, you got to have, there's got to be some strength and popularity within the party and within these policies. And what I would suggest to you is that Americans have voted in much higher taxes and more regulations, more control over their life. Now, all of these are gateways into socialism and Marxism. I mean, communists, that's what it all is. They're all gateways in. And we've been teetering and tottering with that for some time now. But it seems to me that's all out in the light of day now. And you're going to start to see more radical changes in our nation. There's no doubt in my mind there when it comes to all of that. It's just going to be a lot more of it. And you know, that's what we're dealing with here, people. So that's the deal with Ossoff and Warnock, and as far as who they are. The point of this is whatever they were portrayed within the media and the campaigns, it wasn't enough at the end of the day. There are reasons why, and that's what I want to talk to you about next, is the reasons why and why our demographics are changing in our nation in a big way. And I'll give you a piece right here. Take a look just in Georgia with this race that we're speaking about now with Warnock and Ossoff, these two Senate races, okay? Just since the 2016 election, by the way, and the research I've discovered here and finding, so you've got in Black Americans 25% of new voters became of age since 2016. That's 25% new voters. That's incredible. I mean, that's a quarter more new voters in the Black American population just since the last presidential election. So this presidential election clearly looks a lot different than the last one. And the next one in 2024 is going to look a lot different than this one. And we're not trending in the right places, people, to make an impact where you think you might have a shot to make an impact. And so for those who run around with rose-colored glasses thinking that America will get us full of socialism, I've got news for you, a news bulletin. You're wrong. The trending of where we're headed is in another place. And it is going to take America to some rocky roads ahead. And again, we'll talk more about what can be done on this flip side. Let's put that over here, please. Okay, we'll come back to that. Just keep following me here now. And so you've got 25% new voters here. Now, the Hispanic Americans, 18% new voters became of age since 2016. So you've got that many more Black American, Hispanic American. Now, we could argue back about the record unemployment, the record success, the prison reform, all of the various amazing policy changes that President Trump, who has championed for all Americans without a doubt, I can say that just my eyes to your eyes very convincingly, that is God's honest truth. He has done that. And, you know, I was applauding the president back even a couple years back. I thought it was terrific how he was finally making the Republican Party more approachable, more acceptable, more approachable, getting it away from this mantra of the old white man's party, and finally making it more accustomed to other people accepting it. And we've seen in public figures come out, we've seen others, when we've seen more Black conservatives, we have some on America Out Loud, in fact, but yeah, so we've seen more of that. Yes. And Trump is to be credited with changing the face in starting a better trajectory of the grand old party, this Republican Party, because it has not figured this out in many decades. It has been on the wrong side. And when we talked about this 20 years ago, I mean, it was said right to my face blatantly that Republicans are screwed in the future. They have no future because they will burn themselves and earn themselves out of a job because the changing demographics in the United States will force them to the sidelines. And I heard that as a young lad many years back, and I thought, it's not going to happen. We're going to fight that. Yeah, well... It didn't work, people. The changing demographics of Georgia had a big part in these two Senate races and the changing now, and from one presidential election to the other, and you're seeing this right out in the open now. And a lot of this, again, is the cancer and the danger of what the Republican Party has looked for represented and the Democrat Party, and again, always being a game of smoke and mirrors with politics. The media has carried the absolute water and carried all their policies and carried everything they could for the left, socialist, Marxist left. I mean, it is the story of our time, is the media, the fourth estate, rest assured. More so than any Senate race, House race, or anything else that's going to go on in politics, the story of this era is definitely the media, the fourth estate, and the technology bust and social media, how they have censored and really taken on a socialist Marxist agenda in our nation. That's really the story. And although I talk about it, it's not really being talked about out there, but it will be. It absolutely will be just ahead down the road, around the bend. I absolutely guarantee you it's going to be the story because it is the story. And I'm just here early on talking about it, and I've been talking about it with you. It is the biggest story to come out of this era. How they single-handedly changed our nation and how they let the American people down and how they sold us out in so many ways. And here we are. Here we are. Black America and Hispanic America, while there's been great inroads through the Trump years, there are still so many new ones coming through the X and Y generation, the millennials and all that, and coming through the system that still are not aware, and others who still buy into what we've been talking about here with the Democrat Party, that they are for the common man. They are for the average person. And clearly they're not. Policies continue to show that. It is the Republican Party who has proven that. And President Trump has proven that as a populist president. He has transformed the Republican Party. In fact, he has really given the Republican Party half a chance to do anything before they become obsolete. And they may very well become obsolete, people. Absolutely. I mean, they're certainly on the path to that. But it is President Trump who will and needs and should, and history will show, to be credited with this amazing feat. We're going to have to make some changes in our life. We're all going to have to make changes because America is changing fast now. It's not the America you grew up with as a young lad or that I did as well. It's not. This is a different America. And that other one is not coming back. So I'm telling you now, we need to change. And if we don't, well, the country is going to change regardless. It's going to change. It's doing it now. That's what you're seeing right here. We're going to have to start talking about real problems to solve these problems because the election should have never been this close. It should have never been this close in Georgia, and it should have never been that close in the whole 2020 race. You understand? It should have never been this close. And then the fraud would have never won because they couldn't be that much fraud in the light of day. It just wouldn't have worked. But as a tipping point, it can absolutely work. And the left knew that. And they played it out to every point that they could. And they were successful with it. You see what I'm saying? But had we done a better job, it would have never been this close. Because the president's policies were very, very effective for everybody in the United States. Incredible. Again, COVID is a catastrophe, no question. And the way our media has aligned and politicized all of it, catastrophe. I mean, you can see the writing on the wall with everything I'm telling you, right? So we're going to have to start to make changes as a people. We're going to have to start to figure this out if we really care about this country, because we're now coming to the point where the rubber does meet the road. I mean, you can sit all day and we can throw all these false narratives out there and play with each other and pretend it doesn't matter or care. Or we can do that, people, but we're just bullshitting each other at the end of the day. It's not going to get us anywhere. I'm telling you right now. And all the pundits and the political people out there on the left and the right, not going to fix it. So the changes we're going to have to make, one of the points of reference I've been telling you about is shoptotheright.com. This is one. These folks contacted me just about a month and a half ago or something around there. And they had a great idea. And they said, you know, we really love this. We think it's a fit for what you're doing, Malcolm, and we'd like to talk to you about. And really, it's about the fact that, you know, we become, as a society, we love convenient shopping. Everybody's online. Everybody's making Amazon gazillionaires because it's convenient. So as a society that is truly very lazy, people go to Amazon because it's convenient, quick, and they've got the mouse trap all set up there. And we're spending hard-earned money with a company that supports policies that I assure you are not the policies that you support in your life. In fact, it's the direct opposite. And there are so many more like this. And there are everyday products and services that you use and that you subscribe to, that I use and that I subscribe to. And we need to do a better job, you and I. If we don't, we will pay a bigger price. So the timing is truly amazing that we're talking about this service right now today. Right? I mean, you and I don't know what these people do with the money after we give it to them. But in my research, I do know what they're doing with the money. They are supporting the Marxist groups that are burning down the cities that are creating havoc in our country. They are supporting globalists like China and selling out overseas. They're doing all the things that don't support American values and the American prosperity and all the things that create a better life for you and I. What are we going to do about it? Well, we need to stop for a minute, people, and think about this now. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a consumer as well. And I realized before we go and we buy these things, I'm using the site all the time to go and see who's on there. And they've got a great, it's all categorized and you can look by geography and find businesses that are patriotic or have your values at hand that are not selling out to the communist or the Marxist or something else. It's going to be important now. This is in the early stages, this nationwide database. This is a service that time has come and they're here at the right time. ShopToTheRight.com. It's brand new. You got to check it out. And we all got to start using it as a service. And that's it. We're not going to have a choice. We're not going to have a country left. So ShopToTheRight.com. Check it out, my friends. We're going to pause here a moment. I got some pretty big stuff here ahead. Stay right there. More Voice of a Nation coming right at you.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the OUTLOUD truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
You know, I was telling you before the pause there about how, the smoke and mirrors media campaign. And you know how President Trump was really in the front of the $2,000 per person and get that out there, COVID, and you had a lot of Republicans saying no, no, no. See, that didn't play to the right narrative. Now, none of us should want government to give more money out, but let me be clear about this here. When government is forcing businesses to lock down and people to lock down, it changes all the rules, people. I mean, people have to survive, they have to live, they have to pay the light bill or put food on the table, whatever it is. Let's be clear. That's not socialism or Marxism. Let me also be clear. That's survival. And that's why government needs to get the hell out of the COVID business and stop locking down our cities and states and communities. But the point is they have. And the damage they've inflicted in our business communities and families over this past year is, my fellow Americans, it is through the roof in the stratosphere. This damage is serious, it's severe, and it is not something we will get over anytime soon. I guarantee you that. It's an erosion of American values, and it's gone right into the heart of our nation and the small business community and has just pulled the guts right out. And there's a price to pay for all of this. So part of the problem is, you know, Perdue and Loeffler didn't get on that. And a lot of the reports out there like Newsweek and others, they ran reports like this headline. As Georgians starve, millionaires David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler refused to force relief vote. That was to get that $2,000 per person. None of this played well with Georgians and certainly with the Atlanta and the suburbs and people who legitimately are hurting big time. I mean, they are hurting. I mean, if you can't pay a light bill or put food on your table, this is horrible. And COVID has wreaked havoc throughout our nation. So this isn't a Republican or a Democrat thing, not a left or a right. It's not about big government, small government. This is about survival. And this is about, this thing should have never been locked down to begin with. I can have that conversation with you all day long, and then we can get back to keeping government out of our affairs, right? That's another story, which I totally support as a conservative. However, I'm also pragmatic, and I love people. And I don't want to see people starve or have their electric shut off. It's that simple. And government should stay the hell out of people's lives and stop locking down the dog park. Now, we wouldn't have these problems. But we have them. And those stories were run all over the state. And they caused a lot of problems. So again, when you have millionaires and elitists like Loeffler and Perdue, how does that resonate with common people? When you got, you know, a church pastor who's talking to the common man over there and a journalist, these are, you know, see, that's where the Democrat Party is fairly brilliant. And they pulled it off yet again, you see. What I want to talk to you about next is the demographic shifts that are disrupting our world and that are going to change everything, absolutely everything. And I now see it in full daylight. Georgia confirms and clarifies all of this. The entire 2020 race does. In comparison to 2016, when you look at the research and the facts, it does not lie. And things that we were talking about 15, 20, and 25 years ago are now true. It is now happening. So let's talk. Around a third of registered voters in the United States, a third identify as independents, 34%. Now, follow me here and pay attention here to the numbers. You'll want to take all this in now. You'll learn something. 34% independents, okay? 33% are Democrats, 29% as Republicans. So already Republicans are at a deficit. You see it right there, 29, 33 over here, and 34 independent. These are registered voters now, okay? Now, when we're talking about independents, who are those people? Well, obviously, independents have partisan leanings. They absolutely do. 49% of all registered voters that identify as Democrats or lean to the party. So 49% of those independents are Democrat. 44% are Republicans. So the Democrats have a better shift within the independents than the Republicans do, than the GOP. So that matters, right? So even the independents tend to go that way more to the left. So you see what's happening now, right? Okay, now put that over there. Let's look at race and ethnicity in our country as well. So white America, this is, now when we say white America, they always qualify that as saying non-Hispanic. You understand that, because Hispanic can be white or black. So you always say non-Hispanic white American. So they make up the largest share of registered voters right now, 69% of the total. This is as of 2019 now, so this is really most recent accurate information. And Hispanic and Black registered voters each account for about 11% of the total. This is according to Pew Research Center. This is all their information, okay? So, and other backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, are about 8%. So you get that? You got 69 over here. You got 11, 11, and 8. Okay, you with me? We've declined from 85% in 1996 to 69% in this year's election. So if you take a look at that, 85%, you see the trajectory. We were 85% back in 1996. Now we're 69%, and it's headed that way. So, and I just told you all the other in Georgia alone, those that became Black voters, Hispanic voters, and these are the segments of the population that the Democrat Party has famously courted. They deliver nothing, but they have the media to convince. That's why I tell you, the media is really the story here. Because if the media didn't lie and cover for them, the Democrat Party would be shaken down and they would have nothing. They'd be sitting out there bare ass in the intersection. They'd have nothing. But they are totally backed up and camouflaged and hidden by the media and the social media, the tech giants and all of that. But that's what's happening. That's why I said that's the story coming out of this era. I'm telling you, right, it's the story. It's what's going to sink us. And it's sick. Now, the change I just talked to you about that's happening in both parties, okay, So this diminished share of registered voters from, I've told you, from 1996 to current forward here. So it went from 85 to 69%, okay? White voters have consistently accounted for a much larger share of Republican and Republican-leaning voters than of Democrat to Democrat-leaning voters. So they're more white than the Republicans than the others, as you know this already. So we're talking, though, 81% versus 59%. Again, these are recent numbers. So you can see where the trends are and the deficits are. In addition, college. Let's talk about college. Voters who identify with the Democrat Party or lean toward it are much more likely than the Republican counterparts to have a college degree. So, for instance, 41% versus 30%. And in 1996, by the way, that was opposite. 27% of GOP voters had a college degree, 22% of Democrat. Now it's 41% that are Democrat and 30% that are Republican counterparts. Can you believe that? So right away, now you've got that indoctrination factor coming out of the schools, right? That we talk about all the time. But that's how much things have changed just since 1990. So you look at the trends. So now you've got the college factor, you've got the schools, and you've got the shift there. And the ones who are college educated who are getting this indoctrination are mostly Democrats completely, and certainly independents, you see? And that's a hell of a shift, people. I mean, that's upside down backwards. The fact that just since 1996, in that short period of time, we're only talking 24, 25 years here, people. And those are staggering numbers. That just shows you the demographic shift of what's happened in our nation. Now let's talk about religion. Again, Christians account for the majority of registered voters in the United States. How about 64%, roughly, okay? But this is down from 79%. And that was just as of recently, more recent, as of 2008. So it's gone from 79% and now down to 64%. So we're becoming less and less now, less Christian as they pulled God out of everything. This is where the trends are now. So we are surely becoming a godless society. I can promise you God isn't happy about any of this. This is what you're feeling now is the fruits of all of this happening in our nation. That's another talk for another day. But those of you who are Christians understand what I'm talking about, you know. The share of voters who identify as religiously unaffiliated has nearly doubled from 15 to 28%. Wow, wow, wow. That's almost a double, people. That's significant, you see. And around, listen to this now, 8 in 10 Republican registered voters are Christians. So we're talking 79%. That's 80% if you round that up now, that would qualify as Christians in the Republican Party. And 52% of Democrat voters. And the 52% of the Democrat voters, I mean, let me be honest, these are people who obviously support abortion, support murdering kids. And these are people who, you know, which is totally against any sort of faith in Christianity, no matter what kind of Christian you profess to be or where you fall in the faith ladder. There's no faith out there that is of this God that allows you to murder people. That's not possible. So those 52% are kidding themselves. I mean, they might think they're a Christian or a faith based on paper, but you can't be that kind of person. You know, that's pretty duly noted in the Democrat Party. That's why they avoid the conversation all the time. That's why Kennedy did it. You see Biden, yeah, we're Catholic, but, you know, we allow them to do this, 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 and this. And we look the other way. And we don't want to talk about it. And the media will always give them a pass. So those are politicians, the people who are trying to have their cake and eat it too. But they're not going to have their cake and eat it too, as far as God is concerned. You see, it doesn't work that way. You might pull this off here, but you're not going to pull the other off. Does that make sense? So now we have a reckoning here. All this really comes down to a reckoning in our country, really. The demographic shift is very clear right now, what's happening in our country. So then we come back to where we started. And the shift of what happened to Georgia and what we're going to have to do ahead. Well, there's some serious damage at this point. Listen, I don't enjoy having to admit any of this. I don't do this from a point of enjoyment. I didn't think it would happen this quickly in our lifetime, in my lifetime. I didn't see it this fast. I've become so alarmed in recent months and years, but more recent months and weeks. I've become very alarmed and almost a bit in distressed internally now, you see, internally. And distressed to the point that I see what's going on. And it's got me on high alert. And I'm trying to think, what can I do to help you all out there? And how do we shape up America Out Loud moving forward? And how can we best do this? I'm thinking more in those terms, you know, as I try to step back here a bit coming into this new year now and really look at what the stakes are, as we know what they are, but also what the game plan is ahead. What I don't want to do is just be a messenger of doom and gloom. And I also don't want to go through the motions over the next couple of years as we decline as a society. I don't think that's why God had me do this. I don't think that's why he led me to America Out Loud. I don't think that's why I'm here. I don't believe that. I believe I'm here to lend a voice, a purposeful voice, one that is of good, one that looks at the good for all people. That's what my role is here. And I'm concerned as I look at all this, and it's distressful as you really see the signs and you understand where our country is. We have to now begin to really, we're going to have to double and triple down. We're going to have to cross the T's and dot the I's now. We're going to have to create movements. One of the things many people tell me in the Republican Party is that they're not united. They don't connect, not like the Democrats do on the left. The right doesn't do that. We're going to have to step back. And I'm not talking with, you know, just screaming megaphones with fraudulent things all day. But we're going to have to talk about policy and change things, rightfully so. And we've got to be able to make sense of this so that the race is not that close, people. The Republican Party, and I hesitate always to use the word Republican because it's been burnt. It is time for a new name, just as the Whig Party became the Republican Party back in the early 1860s. It is probably time for the Republican Party to become something else. Now, I don't want to get in right now to what that is. I can hear a lot of you screaming at my face now, MAGA, Trumpism, all of this. That's not the conversation. We need to be open and diversified. And we need to be the party of Black America and the party of Hispanic America and the party of Asian America and the party of all the beautiful melting pot of what America is, which is what I talk to you about all the time. The beauty of the diversity of opinion and the diversity of people and the diversity of this great nation. We all are a people and can be a people of God in this beautiful way. But you can't let the socialist Marxists partner with the media and the tech giants to put out a false narrative that they've been successful in doing. And those of us who, people that are shopping with all these big conglomerates that are selling us out or using the social media tools that are selling us out or doing all the things because it's convenient. And I've stopped doing that myself. I'm very careful, very cautious when the wallet comes out, where the money is going. I avoid certain places because I know what their policies are. I know where their money is going and I don't like it. I don't buy from other places like, the Amazon folks and many others. The Nike sneakers, there's a whole list of these things we'll be talking about more and more ahead. And that comes back to shop to the right, those people. That nationwide database I told you about. We gotta do something. I mean, this is one idea. It's not the only idea. We're gonna need more things, but we need to get into grassroots and we're gonna need to start to change this paradigm here real fast. We need to embrace the new electorate. We need to drive new people into the school systems, new professors with more of the constitutionalist and patriotic, and not, I don't want to use the word Republican, but you know what I'm talking about. We need to get more of those people in the school system, in the education system, in the colleges, and lower K through 12 as well. We need to embrace law and order, and you know, not just defund the police business over there, but we need to get again and really open up people's eyes. We're going to have to do it in a way that makes sense, that speaks to the American people. There aren't a lot of other choices left, or your America has already begun the decline, and it will indeed slip away. That's not a fairy tale. I'm not making that up, and it's not my opinion. It's just as a fact. It is the demographic shift of our nation and of the world right now that's happening here in America. And that's why you had the perfect election of Warnoff and Ossoff. And it's why you had the steal happen in the 2020 and the decline of all that is. And now we have a battle, my fellow Americans, and it is in front of us. And it is time that we embrace those roots, those Christian roots of a Judeo-Christian value, a nation. It's time we connect on these other elements. And we begin to embrace all that America is in a different way. And just stop all the cheap talk, because it's not going to get us there at the end of the day. We need to fix the damage, the cancer that is within us, or America will cease to be America. My fellow Americans, it's time to get involved and get loud.